So Jeff, you're back in 2014.
I am today.
You know, in only 1 year's time, we're going to see Jaws 17.
Ooh.
And the Cubs are going to win the World Series. Are you Back to the Future too? No fans know what I'm talking about.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Don't Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff. My drunk scale rating right now, I'm going to go with a 1, getting to a 2. I'm drinking Knob Creek. Have you heard of that?
Sounds a little knobby.
Have you heard of this?
Cheers to that Nubs Creek.
It's Knob Creek Maple, and I'm drinking that with water. Somebody left it at my house, so I'm drinking it. Where am I? Okay, we're back to our normal style of recording.
Where are you? I think you're in 2014.
I'm back in 2014, and I'm back in 2014, recording in our normal style, which is not in person. But don't worry, if you like last week's style, if you even noticed the difference, we're definitely going to be doing more of that. But this week, we're recording on a Saturday night after the Pelicans Heat game, so be prepared for Jason's Pelican Plunge later in the show. But first, we're going to discuss our opinions on the latest Saints news, as is tradition. Speaking of tradition, just want to review our style of introductions for our show for any new listeners. We haven't explained ourselves in a long time, and we probably have a few listeners out there who may not understand why we ask for your number.
Well, now, they're probably in a foreign country, so they may not even understand English anyway.
Yes, people in the United Kingdom. Don't understand it. People in
We may have a listener in Spain. You don't know.
Well, most people most people of foreign language understand English. It's the people who speak from America.
Hey, we're like,
don't speak.
Fuck learning. I'm going to go to France. Fuck learning French.
You speak.
I'm America. This is America.
America. So basically, we don't report the news, everyone. We comment on it. We have a bias to the Saints because that's who we are. We're the Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
We represent a niche community of New Orleans Saints fans from all around the world. So, and our humor is very offensive. So if you're easily offended, go ahead and stop listening now. For the rest of you, put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show.
Howdy, folks. Please keep your hands and arms inside the train and remain seated at all times. Now then, hang on to them hats and glasses, because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
We offer you, the listener, the feeling of sitting at the bar with us while we enjoy some libations, and sometimes we overindulge. So when
sometimes.
Like tonight. So when we introduce ourselves, we have to give a number on a scale from 1 to 10, and then periodically throughout the show, we may do a Dome Patrol checkpoint. But that's our chance to give each other and you, the listener, an idea of how drunk we are. Long-time listeners have learned that when certain numbers of the Dome Patrol podcast
.com.
Have certain high numbers, the show can get a bit out of control, which is entertaining in its own right and leaves a lot of stuff on the editing room floor. And so I think I've now broken the record for the longest intro to the show ever.
So
Jason,
far.
Welcome to the show. What is your number?
It's lower than you think because I got a beer before halftime at the game and that was my last drink until I got home. So I was probably a 4, you know, going into, like, I had a margarita before the game. We ate dinner and then got a mixed drink at the game and then drank a couple of beers. So I was, you know, feeling pretty good at that point, but then it's sobered up and, but now I'm going back. So 1.5 and it'll climb.
Yeah. It'll probably,
I'm in too good of a mood.
What are you drinking
right now? I am drinking a bourbon and Coke Zero.
All right, there you go. Damon, welcome to the show. It's a Saturday night, rare occasion.
Thank you.
Might have a number. Do you have a number?
Nope. Thank you.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
That would be great to play Matthew right there, speak as the true detective, and as a captain.
Both? How can I do both? Rust Cole and Wooderson?
Just playing Matthew because of True Detective and his Academy Award. Matthew McConaughey is like top actor of the year right now. So
well, he's going to win the Emmy next year for True Detective, so he's going to have an Oscar and an Emmy basically in the same calendar.
Oh, yeah. And he'll probably be nominated for whatever this new movie that's coming out that's their high expectations. Anyway, I listened
to... That's our off-season movie show, folks.
Right. Well, I had listened to a movie podcast on the drive from up to Alexandria, and so, yeah. Anyway, let's get started with the Saints topics. We're going to open with... I'm going to open with a quick and easy one. Joe Morgan signed a one-year deal. We're excited about that, yeah?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, Morgan is definitely the one that we thought was going to be the, you know, the guy who blows the defense, you know, the top off the defense.
Wait. You may not want to say that he blows the defense. I mean, that doesn't
sound
right.
Blows the top off of the defense.
Right.
Okay. It's a no-brainer, considering he's coming off the injury. Probably didn't get a lot of interest elsewhere, and he knows the offense here. His best bet is to play for a year here, and if he puts up some good stats, then... You know, if he can make some money next year, then so be it. But
why didn't we sign him for longer?
Because we don't know. He tore his ACL. We don't know how he's going to come back. What if he loses his speed?
All right. Good answer.
That's kind of his thing. It's a, you know, win-win proposition. And who knows? He may not even make the team in camp. We'll see. But
right.
I think we all kind of assumed he was going to be back. So it's good. I mean, I like it. We kind of need.
We need a deep threat. I mean, Sean Payton's offense kind of needs that.
If he comes back to, you know, anything close to what he was before, it's a good thing. I mean, he averaged, like,
yeah,
what, 30 or 40 yards a catch? Granted, it wasn't a big sample size, but all of his plays were big plays, so.
Well, but he can catch it, and that's important, you know? You can get down there, and you can catch it. That's,
well,
I think there's a lot of, well, there's a lot of guys that are fast that might drop a few.
But, I mean, in the NFL, if you don't catch, you're going to be cut anyway, so.
Right, true.
So we'll see what he looks like when he comes back. He'll be a... You got the injury early enough. You should be back at pretty much 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's right. One of the things that whatever his injury is, he's not able to run right now because it was reported that he was not able to run for the team that he visited.
God damn it!
Oh.
So,
well,
that's a long time, right? I mean, no.
I mean, what he had it in like what? July, August?
Right.
It was in training camp?
Right.
That he had?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, or was it mini camp? It was training camp, not mini camp.
No, it was summer. It was...
Okay.
July, August, so you figure back...
I mean, it's around, I don't know, 7-8 months. You figure he probably should be running at this point.
I don't know. Well, April. I'd give him April. I'd start to notice in April, and I'd be worried in May.
Well, it's minimal risk with the one year.
With the draft being later, it might...
We'll get some time. If he can't run by the time the draft comes around, then...
Draft a deep threat.
Well, we may do that anyway.
Right.
Well, and look, I mean, he was with us the entire recovery process, so it's not like the Saints and, you know, don't know what's going on or where his progression is.
True that.
Yeah, so we'll see. Another body in camp. And hopefully...
True that and True Detective. Speaking of people,
he's not the Yellow King.
Out of this, jeez. All right, so
jeez.
Let's move ahead to fullback Eric Long signs with the Saints.
Wait, I thought it was Eric Lurie.
Oh, Lurie. Yeah, you're right.
You just assume anybody with the last name of L has to be Long, right? He's Howie Long's long lost fullback son that nobody talks about.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're reading the R and the I, okay. Anyway, he signs with the Saints. I'm going to read a quick quote from his original interview and then let you guys talk about him. The quote that I liked the best from his interview was, he said, "It's really exciting because I get to stay in my division, which means I'm comfortable playing the teams within the division. It's really a pleasure to come to the Saints because from afar, I've really respected this organization, and to be a part of it, and to be a part of the next step in the organization is something that really excites me." I thought that was a great answer.
I think he's probably excited that he's going to come to a locker room that doesn't have MRSA in it.
Definitely a plus.
Yeah. Right.
MRSA-free locker rooms.
But I don't think he... it's a four-year deal. Now, obviously, whether he stays the 4 years or not, usually contracts don't always end up with it, but it's a four-year deal. And I want to say I saw that he didn't have a single carry for Tampa in his career. He's got, like, 30 receptions or something like that, but doesn't have a single carry. Not like that we really run
with
the fullback.
Not that we don't run with the fullback.
Anyway,
right.
But it does say something that they went out and changed. I mean, Collins, I know he was injured, but it's not like he was – bad fullback. It's,
well, this
fullback
is the second
been a huge
time, because I don't think Heath Evans was, when we let him go, yeah, I it was kind of a surprise then as well.
Well, not only that, think about it, when we let Mike Carney go.
Yeah.
That was kind of out of nowhere.
Sean Payton pretty much lets fullbacks go pretty readily.
Kind of like centers, we really don't care about him. We just kind of let him go and we just replace him. But I wonder if the fact that this was actually one of their signings, that they were, I mean, they're maybe really looking at changing the offense a little bit, being a more, you know, fullback and running back behind them, either Ingram or Robinson.
Later in the show, when we talk about Zach Strieff, there's, I think, more proof of that with his.
It defense. Just kind of signifies that, hey, maybe we're moving in a slightly different direction and we're going to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's weird. I mean, nobody really cares about the fullback. Nice to be able to say Jedediah Collins.
Jedediah Springfield.
Right. But, I mean, really, since we've had very decent fullbacks, if you think about it, I mean, Evans has scored touchdowns, Carney has scored touchdowns, Collins has scored touchdowns.
Well, I'm sure Eric Long is going to, and I did that one on purpose. Is gonna,
wait, you mean Eric Lyric?
Yeah, exactly, Jay Bird.
Oh, you mean Jairus Bird?
I think he's going to score some touchdowns, too, especially, you know, when Sean Payton plays a team that thinks they have a – I'll never forget whenever he played Dallas – the first time
I was at that game,
right?
It was
and who it was Carney, right?
It was Carney. Carney had three touchdowns.
Exactly, and it's because they thought he did the exact opposite of everything they thought he was going to do, right? Just give the ball to Carney. And I think Sean Payton's the master of kind of using the fullback in just the right game. You know, it's you're only going to see it in a couple of games, maybe two, but when
But he's going to be heavily involved if. You know, this guy doesn't carry the ball a lot. He's more of the blocking guy.
Yeah.
And he's a young guy, too. It's not like you're paying an older guy. He's a young guy, and if we're going to be, you know, run a little more than before, obviously they saw a guy they liked, they targeted him, and they got him. They're moving forward, so I like the move.
Damon, you like it?
Yeah, I like it. I agree with – look, that he didn't get any carry with Tampa Bay, I wouldn't read anything into that. I think Sean Payton will – you know, likes to run the running back, and he gives us more of a – everything I've read said he gives us more of a versatile player in the passing game.
Yeah, it's Tampa, folks.
They have MRSA.
He in Tampa. I mean, he had Josh Freeman, and then who throwing to him?
Oh, the rookie, Mike Glennon.
Yeah, so, you know.
Hey, look, obviously they targeted him, so – we have all the faith in Mickey that, hey, if they like this guy, they've done it before. They replaced Carney with Evans, and then they replaced Evans with Collins, and they've all done okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we haven't complained that the fullback is a weak spot on the team.
Look, no offense. This isn't the quarterback we're replacing. It's a fullback, okay? I mean, you know, everybody calm down. He's going to be all right.
That signing is going to win us the Super Bowl. Yeah. All right, speaking of signings that'll win us the Super Bowl, Zach Strieff comes in and gets a five-year deal?
Five years.
Probably his last contract.
Well, his last decent contract he's ever going to get.
In his interview, again, he looks like he wants to finish his career here. He actually said that, and he said, you know, barring any unforeseen circumstances, I see myself – you know, living in New Orleans for the rest of my life. And, you know, I know I feel like I've been hard on Zach Strieff. I feel like you guys have also.
Oh, yeah, we all have.
Zach Strieff. But after reading his interview, I'm going to soften up on the guy because I think his heart's in the right place. And I'm going to read a quick little quote, too. And this isn't about his heart. This is about the hint to something you alluded to earlier, Jason, about the running game being a priority, which I think we've all at some point mentioned in the last couple of episodes. So Zach Streif said, I think for me, the running game, run blocking, aiming points, pad level, things like that are going to be really big for me this year. So to put it in context, the question was kind of like, do you do anything in the off season to improve your game?
You always try to improve, whether you can or not, but...
But he specifically called out running game.
It's a distinct possibility, considering the moves we've seen. But I do also like, when you look at the free agent market and what some of these linemen were getting, the Streif deal really isn't bad, considering it's... I mean, I really think he probably could have gotten a little bit more money in the open market somewhere.
Do you think he took less to play with?
I think it was a competitive offer that he wanted to stay, and he took it. I think he could have got a little more money elsewhere.
He just wants to ride in Bacchus.
Well, and look, when you got a quarterback like Breeze and you got a coach like Peyton, you know, you take a few million dollars less, you're still getting some security. Is he only got like $5.5 million guaranteed or $6 million guaranteed?
Yeah, didn't seem that terribly much.
So I think it's a good deal for the team.
Good.
He's a solid guy on the line. You don't have to worry about replacing him with somebody else. It may mean that now De La Puente will probably not be a Saint, but that still has to play out. But look, we've been down on him, but he's been steady, and I'm okay with it. I think it's an okay deal. It's not like we overpaid to keep him. That's the key thing. I don't think we overpaid to keep him.
We didn't overpay to keep him. All these sites and organizations that grade players, okay, and I don't understand how to grade an offensive lineman, guys. I'm not watching him every play during the game. But, you know, all of these things graded him very, very well.
Hmm.
So, he was like, yeah, and he was like the, you know, third best offensive guard out there, you know.
Or tackle, you mean. Tackle, I mean, I will say, there were definitely games where he was pretty overmatched by a good pass rusher on the other side, and I remember getting frustrated.
Well,
but I mean, it's look, when you go up against guys like that, you're going to have bad days. But look, I remember being very frustrated with him. Maybe it was San Francisco or a team. He just kept getting blown by, and yeah, there weren't necessarily sacks because Breeze can avoid it. But
Funny you say that, because I forget who I was listening to, and they were talking about him. One of the things they were saying is that. Right, offensive lineman. You might remember that one game or one play, you know. But overall in his season, it was a very, very good season, you know. And you might remember that one, but, you know, there were 15 other games that he... And they say that he is the most consistent of the Saints' offensive line this year, even more consistent than Jari. So.
Well, that was what, I think he was hurt this year.
All right. And look, it just... Look, it helps us so much. I think that signing helps us keep cohesiveness.
Cohesiveness and continuity.
Right, kind of, you know. The only guy we're going to really have to replace is, I think, De La Puente. I think, you know, so that's a good thing.
And that leads into a conversation I wanted to have. You know, we had some offensive line issues this year, and everybody's looking at, oh, we need to improve the offensive line for next year or else we're fucked. When you look at the expectation next year and you compare it to this year, could it be not as bad as I think we thought it was for the last couple of months? Because if you think about... Why was it so bad this year? Well, we lost Cromer. We had a new offensive line coach. So they had kind of a new coach to learn how to deal with. He's coming into his second year. And to your point, only one guy is going to be new. Zach Streif mentioned in his interview a change in scheme that they had to deal with I think he said something like a zone scheme, and I don't know.
Zone blocking.
Yeah. Was difficult. And he said that was difficult for all of them to pick up last year in the first beginning of the season. So, I mean, maybe it's not going to be, you know what I mean? The guys aren't that bad. It was just there were some circumstances being what they were.
Having Charles Brown for 2014.
Well, besides that, yeah.
But I will say
so
this.
Now you got Taron Armstead there.
What, which is weird. I'm just thinking about it to myself just now. It's like those last three or four games out of Armstead, like really that position was gonna, a major question on this team. And after three or four games, and I know I'm guilty of it, I'm kind of assuming like, yeah, Armstead's going to be fine. Like, I'm already not worried about that spot, even though it's going to be a guy that only has four starts.
Well, look, his first game against Carolina, going against Hardy, who is one of the best. He struggled there. But then every week you heard about him less and less. And the old saying is, you know, look, an offensive lineman, you don't want to hear anything about him.
Right.
You know, you don't want to ever hear their name. If you hear their name, then something's wrong. So I agree with you, Jason. I'm very, very.
Look, I'm high as hell on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Saints have proven that they can find linemen late in the draft. You go for the skill set, and then you teach them up. That's kind of what they did with Akeem Hicks. Had the skill set, now coached him up, and dude, I think he's going to be a monster. And I hope it. You know, my anticipation, expectation of Armstead is legit, and I hope he does pan out to be that guy. Because otherwise, that could be an issue. But it does help, you know, in the long term, bringing Streif back. And if De La Puente leaves, all the rumors are pointing to Jonathan Goodwin coming back and being our center.
I would love that.
Where would he be coming from?
San Francisco. Played the last 3 years in Frisco. He got some money from Frisco, and now he's free.
Right, won the Super Bowl with us.
Yeah, got a 3-year deal from Frisco.
Be nice to get him back. Cause...
I mean, if you're going to lose De La Puente, that's the guy you would think, you know, at least he knows... Majority of the offense.
What do you think is the possibility of that really happening? I mean, what is it like percent wise?
I'd say it's
pretty good. Yeah,
greater than 50%.
I don't know what he's expecting out there, but you know, he's an older veteran.
Yeah, I think he's like 35, 36.
Right. He shouldn't be breaking the bank and coming back.
I mean, the question: if De La Puente leaves and we do bring him back, let's hope he's not another Olin Krutz, or just let's hope at the game, you know, he's not done. Like, at least he can be productive. I mean, we're just assuming, hey, if he comes back, he's going to be fine, but at an older age, you never know.
Yeah, but I don't know. I see him a lot different than Krutz. Olin Krutz, wasn't he coming off an injury when he came and played for us?
Don't know.
I don't know why I think that or something, but, you know.
I
mean,
I know,
but
it is different. At least Goodwin's played here before. He knows.
Right. He knows everything.
The area, the coach, the quarterback. And he would want to be, you know, it didn't seem like Krutz wanted to be.
Right, the system and everything, yeah.
Right.
Fucking Krutz.
Yeah, I don't see them in the same situation.
What do you think about the Sidney Rice rumors?
I don't really care. If we sign him, fine. If not, then I don't really care.
What role would he play if he signed here? I mean,
he'd be an outside
wide receiver.
Yeah, outside wide receiver.
I mean, God damn it. I walked into that one. What type of – I mean, is he your slot guy, your deep guy? I don't know enough about Sidney Rice.
He's big. He's got speed, but he's always hurt. So if he would sign, he would play on the outside. So
Joe Morgan signing.
That might be less.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't pay Rice more than minimum because he can't prove he hadn't been healthy since 2009.
All right.
So I wouldn't commit any sorts of big money to him whatsoever.
So he can go to the Jets.
Was he really healthy in 2009?
He was 2009 was his one healthy year when Favre had the good season.
I'll tell you what I know about Sidney Rice is I avoid him in fantasy football because of the injury thing.
Exactly.
So, not that that means anything to the actual coaches on the field, but. You know. Oh, so speaking of the Jets, I'm going to slide. Yeah, I'm going to wait on that one.
Yeah, fuck the Jets.
Let's talk about the Greenbrier.
Yes.
The Saints are going to be training camp, right?
Not all of training camp, but a portion of training camp will be in Greenbrier.
Yeah, and they're building a completely original new facility. What is it, three fields?
Well, two grass fields and one artificial, you know, one field turf field, and a 55,000 square foot facility with food and weight room and all that other nice stuff that
NFL team.
He
said food first. Food right now.
Give me a liter of cola.
A what?
A liter of cola?
Liter of cola? Do we make liter of cola?
Will you just order a large farva?
I don't want a large farva. I want a goddamn liter of cola.
I don't know what that is.
Liter is French for give me some fucking cola before I break Boo's fucking lip.
All right, relax.
So, yeah, well, anyway, let's talk about the Greenbrier. I mean, so, or is that it?
Well, no,
I know the Greenbrier has the golf tournament, which is where Peyton caddied for Ryan Palmer last year. I wonder if
the
tournament.
That's when the deal was made?
Supposedly, the Greenbrier has got this nice resort, like a lot of famous athletes are buying properties and building cabins, and there's a nice golf course, and it's kind of made of a revival.
Right.
Right.
But I wonder if the tournament is going to be the same time period as we're here. Now, granted, Peyton's not going to caddy for him if it's our training camp. He's not going to leave practice. But I do wonder if it is going to be around the same time. I'll have to look at it.
No, I don't think so, because obviously we weren't in training camp last year, you know. Sean Payton wouldn't have left.
Right.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're right.
You know,
right.
He wouldn't have left last year either, so.
Yeah, good call. Next week.
No. Yeah, good call.
Yeah, edit that out, motherfucker.
Let's just start over. Hi, this is a Dome Patrol podcast.
Yeah.
All right. So I mean, I think it's I don't mind that they're leaving to go. I don't know if any fans in New Orleans mind or not, but look, the benefit is that they're not going to be worn out for the start of the season from the weather.
I guess, you know, but I guess you can look at it two different ways. You know, does the trials of training camp build character, or does it give you weak legs later in the year? You know?
Right, right.
I think, because I can remember Peyton saying this when we went to Mississippi, that he likes getting away and just getting away from all the distractions and everything else. That's why I like to get away during.
Or he might have some piece of tail in Greenbrier.
Well, his girlfriend was Miss West Virginia.
Oh, well, there you go.
Son of a bitch. Because I thought I remember him saying, when they brought it back to New Orleans, saying that practicing here was more important. I mean,
maybe at that point in the franchise, right.
I think it's right. What you need at what time. There's no, you can't worry about precedence or.
No, I mean, he has the pulse of the team. He knows how to push the right.
He might need to get away right now.
It's his decision. His decision, and we trust it. He knows when to push the right button.
Hey, it worked in Remember the Titans.
So.
All right, so last piece that I had of Saints news before I give you guys anything. Lance Moore, former Saint,
which is
signed with the Steelers. Anybody care about that?
Goes from black and gold to black and yellow. Just can't leave it.
No. Of course. Look, like we've said, Lance Moore will always be a fan favorite. Good for him, you know.
At least he's not in the NFC.
Yeah, but we do play the Steelers this year.
Well, yeah. Then that'll be a fun game. I can't wait for that game then. It's in Pittsburgh, I think, right?
I'm not sure where it's at.
I think so. I think we have Cincinnati and Baltimore at home, and we have Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Yeah, we definitely have Cleveland on the road.
All right.
Because we talked about going to that game. But, yeah, look, he landed in a good organization. You know, more power to him. Good for him.
All right, there you go. Damon, Jason, y'all have any Saints?
I'll go ahead and again laugh at the Falcons. They signed Devin Hester, who, while Devin Hester is probably the greatest return man in NFL history, he's also 32, 33 years old.
Right.
So I do like how the Falcons, tend to sign.
The Falcons are becoming the Dan Snyder's Redskins.
I love the fact that they keep signing these older players, thinking like, oh, this is it. It's going to put us over. Right.
Well, not just his age, and that it's not, you know, much like Jeff, the Falcons are living in 2007. they do have internet, though. yeah. But, you know, right, not only is it not 2007, but they have done everything over the last several years to really take the kickoff out of the game. Even this year, there is a proposal to move the kickoff to the 40. Okay? I mean...
That's not going to pass. I hope not.
With the NFL, I mean, there's all kinds of crazy bullshit.
Speaking of things that they're going to talk about,
what's going on
into that, they're now...
The goalpost.
Yeah, the goalpost dunk.
Celebration, yeah. they're proposing, because it's fun.
Oh, yeah.
They don't allow any
I'm
fun.
I'm sure it's what it is it's an overreaction to an isolated incident where Jimmy Graham rendered Atlanta's shitty goalpost crooked. It's got to be related to that. Otherwise, they would not bring it
up. Well, no, because it's fun. Because it's fun, and they don't want the players to have any fun.
Here's what we do. We will set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Set up. Here's what we do. We will set up. Set up. Here's what we do. We will set up.
What the NFL should do, okay, what they should do with that is if there's another Atlanta-like situation, then you give the offending team a delay of game penalty. You know, mm-hmm. I'd be for that. Give the offending team a delay of game penalty.
Most of the time when Jimmy dunks, he doesn't really touch the goalpost that
right,
much.
Right, right. That time,
I think
he hung on that one. Right.
He touches it a little bit. He just doesn't break it, but heaven forbid Atlanta get a real goalpost that...
No. Look.
Atlanta's goalpost was flimsy.
No, look.
How many other goalposts has he dunked on and didn't break
look,
it?
Look, he fucked up. He shouldn't have done it. He hung
no,
on
Atlanta
it.
Fucked
he
up.
He hung on it.
Atlanta.
He hung on it, okay?
Can you let me enjoy my Atlanta joke? God damn it. You're a Saints fan. You should just let me go with
it. It's not very
I know it's stupid, but that's why it's a joke.
I picked up on it that it was a
right, of course.
Well, what?
That's because Damon doesn't have a number tonight.
Atlanta's goalpost is noodle post.
It's made out of noodles.
Just like noodle arm. They got a noodle post.
Well, that might be true.
If there's a flood in Atlanta, they can at least float on their goalposts. No, but really, this is not even an issue. Like, this isn't even on the radar if it's not for that specific dunk.
I think it's still on the radar. I don't think that.
No. I think Jeff. I agree with Jeff. If he doesn't hang on it.
If it doesn't go crooked, that's it. It's because they're looking at it like, well,
but stop.
Continue.
Stop being, God damn it, stop being such homers, okay? I mean, look, Jimmy shouldn't have hung on the fucking goalpost, and he bent it, and that's a delay of game. And if that happens again, you penalize the offending team with a delay of game penalty. If it does not happen, then shut the fuck up. And keep, you know, don't, you know, let the
I'm not being a home.
No, I don't think they're doing it because of that play. I think they don't let you do celebrations. That's the type of celebration, and they don't allow celebrations. That's all it is.
You're wrong.
That's all it is.
I'm not defending Jimmy's that dunk. My point is that we're in a situation here where whether it's Jimmy Graham or anybody, it's an isolated incident. They're acting like it's this widespread issue that there's a risk that goalposts are going to crash and burn all over the league. But it's one issue. How many players have dunked over the goalpost? Drew Brees dunked in Miami. He tried to.
And how awesome was that?
It was awesome.
Right. That was,
the point is... You,
it was so awesome. You pissed in your pants.
It's
he did piss in his pants, folks.
It's,
if you haven't heard, we went to the Miami game. He pissed in his pants. I have picture proof.
You cut that out.
No. The power of editing. I can keep it in.
You cut that out. Good.
I have a picture to prove it. He pissed in his pants. It was the Breeze dunk that put you over the edge.
Why does that matter? I was standing in line.
At least it was that dunk and not the sharper interception.
The sharper rape.
Oh, God. You raped Chad Henne that night. Or no, was it Chad Pennington?
Yeah, it's everyone.
It was Henny.
No. The point I'm making is that I probably already made it. If I did, I don't know what's edited and what's not. So the point I'm making is that.
Are you really making a point?
He's making a Dope Patrol checkpoint.
Yeah, I might. Damn it.
Do you realize how fast you were going, sir?
Yes, I do. And there is an explanation for that. First of all, let me start off by saying.
You see what I did there?
Yes, I do. And I guess I'm a 3?
4.3.
No, right. Boy, Jason, you are higher than a 4.3. I hate to tell you.
Self assessment is low.
5.3.
At least.
At a minimum.
That's fine.
All right. All I'm saying is I'm tired of when these owners' meetings come up, the stuff that at least the news is talking about that might be considered, even though it's probably not going to get passed or anything, but the idea that they got to, oh, we have to make a show that about every an isolated incident. It's like, why don't you?
Because they
real issues.
Because they're turning it into a 12-month-a-year news cycle. That's why.
Yeah.
It shouldn't even be news.
It shouldn't even be an agenda item on their.
But that is the way the NFL works. I mean,
and it's not because of Jimmy Graham. It's because it happened once.
It's not even that incident. It's another mode of celebration, and they outlawed celebration. They don't want any fun. They don't want any celebrations. They don't want any of that occurring in the game. Which is mind-boggling to me because all it's going to do is increase ratings.
Well, they also
you get attention, and you figure these owners are all about money, so that's kind of a little.
That kind of like when they cut to commercial during the broadcast, they usually always show the most recent touchdown and subsequent celebration.
Right.
So, I mean, you kind of invite it. Well, anyway, let's move
ahead. The NFL's a bunch of assholes.
That's right.
We all know that.
Let's move ahead. Pelican Plunge?
Woo!
The game.
Yeah.
Playing to survive. Aiming to win any way they can.
Yeah, pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw, too fast for y'all. You might take a nasty fall, trying to stick with the prehistoric passenger.
Foul ball.
All rep, no physical contact. Bounce back, demonstrate, invincible bomb raps. Not no hustler, no player, or speaking no crime crap. I'm vocally trying to score before my time lapse.
Full court press.
Oh man, that might have been the biggest plunge. I didn't even know what that was. Started off too high, and I'm like, no, I can't do Ric Flair, because we're not the Hornets anymore. I gotta go lower.
How does that feel, baby?
All you all Powers fans know what I'm talking about. Oh, I lost my breath on that. Okay, and now.
You are definitely higher than a 5.3.
That's right, definitely a squirt. After tonight's win, I'm in a jovial mood. Pelicans, Heat, New Orleans Arena. Sorry, Smoothie King Center. About 30% of the fans there were Heat fans, which I would say a good 75 to 80% of those Heat fans are all New Orleans bandwagon Heat fans that live in New Orleans, grew up in New Orleans, pull for the Heat because they're champions. You know, the proverbial bandwagon. So thank God. I mean, this was, as far as the rest of the season goes, this was a game to win. It was a full arena, so that was kind of nice, getting a sold-out arena. But just to send them home losers. I had so much pent-up aggression because I knew there were going to be all these Heat fans there, and I just hate it when there's opposing fans there. It's the worst. Like, it's really the fucking worst. And it was a close game. Dwayne Wade didn't play for the Heat, but Eric Gordon didn't play for the Pelicans. Tight contest in the first quarter, in the first half. Pretty tight for the second half until Pelicans went on a spurt in the fourth quarter. And just it was awesome. I mean, Anthony Davis is the third best player in the NBA right now, behind LeBron and Durant. It's awesome to watch him just continue to get. It's like, I don't even know what his ceiling is. He's so good. And just to send those fucking fans home. And it was funny, like, you know, towards the end of the game, the outcome was pretty much decided. Like, we sit behind the basket, but on seats 3 and 4. So, like, 1 and 2 are in the aisle in the corner where the other team comes in and comes out. So usually every game, like, the other team's fans will line up there and try to get a picture, get their hands swatted or whatever. So all season, arena security is trying to prevent that, to prevent people from just coming down, even though they don't have tickets there, to prevent all this commotion. So towards the end of the game, the Pelicans are going to win, and all of a sudden there's this guy that's sitting behind us, him and his wife. They've got tickets in one and two, and he steps into the aisle and's ready to take a picture, and the security guard yells at him saying, "Hey, get back! You know, stand back in your seat. Don't clog the aisle. Blah blah. Standard procedure. I mean, I've seen it all season." And he gets pissed and he starts yelling at him.
Is he a Heat fan?
He wasn't wearing a Heat jersey, but I haven't seen him all season, so obviously.
So he must have bought the tickets through, like,
right, right.
Okay.
He bought the tickets, so they obviously came because the Heat were playing. So he's yelling with the security guard, and at that point, I'm just excited that we're winning, and I have all this aggression. Like, I turn around and just kind of say, like, "Hey, dude, just listen to the guy. He says, don't stand in. Don't stand in your seat." And the fact that the guy was on the end of the row, he had a perfect angle to get a picture of anybody he wanted.
Right.
He didn't have anybody blocking his view. He was fine. So I yelled at him. I was like, "Just listen to the guy. Just stand in your aisle. Just don't be a dick." And he got pissed at me. He's like, "What are you talking about? It's none of your business. None of your business." I'm like, "Dude, I've seen this all season. I'm here all season. Just respect authority for a little bit." And he's like, he got so mad. So eventually I turn around.
His team was
losing. Raise my hand, but I'm just like, "All right, dude, whatever." It's like, just listen to the guy. And then he just keeps yelling, "It's none of your business. None of your business." And then, you know, the minute passes by, the game's over, players walk out, and we're just clapping that they won. And he's like, "It's none of your business." I'm just like, dude, like, he was fucking mad. Like, he was so fucking pissed off at me, and I enjoyed
it even more.
Like, the whole game tonight, I knew this was one of those games where there's going to be so many fucking Heat fans there, and I was so mad. I just knew, like, if we're going to win a game, win this fucking game. I don't want to see all these assholes celebrate, because anytime LeBron did a dunk, anytime did everything, they cheered, and it's weird in your home arena to hear that loud of a cheer for the opposing team. And I mean, granted, they're the champs, so I can see why you'd have followers, but any New Orleans fan that was a Heat fan tonight is, I'm sorry. I just don't.
Yeah, but you know what I think about LeBron?
So, I mean, look, I like LeBron as a guy, and he's the best player in the league.
Do you want to know what I think about LeBron and the Heat?
It's
none of your business. It's none of your business.
God, but I was so ready to just go off. I was like, I wish I could have traded places with Mike at Fuck the Falcons, because he would have just walked up to any person in a Heat jersey and said, yelled at him, "Fuck the Heat." Like, I really.
Yeah, but then
inside.
Then you become the Chicago Bears
right.
fan.
Right, and like, I know I couldn't do
the
it.
Philadelphia
but,
Eagles fan.
Like, I know I couldn't do it, and I didn't. But
good, that's what makes. Like, that's why New Orleans fans are not assholes.
But God, like, I wanted, like, I could have gone up to every person in the arena wearing a Heat fan and just flipped them the bird or done something, because
right,
fuck
but
them.
The thing is, you don't know their, you know,
I know. I know where
you're coming from, but it's an asshole thing. It's what we complain about other fans.
Which, I mean, look, I didn't. I mean, other than the guy that I've talked about, I really was. I was good. I was surprisingly.
And that guy, you did have a right. You didn't tell him fuck you. He had had something going on with the guard, and you were just saying, dude, fucking stop.
Well, I also did. There were two guys sitting.
It is my business, because your argument with the guard is distracting me from watching the game.
Well, just I've seen all the other fans clog the aisle, and I'm just like, just don't, you know, like they don't have the tickets at the end of the game when people leave their seats. People come down and sit and stand up and clog the aisle and take their picture and whatnot. But I just hate when our arena is overrun with other fans, especially when most of those fans are New Orleanians. Like, it just pisses me off so much. So that's why, like, tonight's win was maybe the best win of the season. Like, I'm
only
just,
win of the season.
Just, I love Anthony Davis. I'm not ashamed to admit it. He is going to be better than Chris Paul. He is.
All
right. You know what? Right now, he is the third best player in the NBA. Granted, we don't have the wins, but that's due to the talent around him at this point with the injuries. But he is the third best player in the league. He is 21 years old. He set a franchise record 8 straight games with over 28 points. He had 30 and 11 tonight. He had a great block on Chris Bosh, and he held Chris Bosh to only like 12.8, which is a really big deal. But he's worth watching. It's amazing. Like, I don't know what his ceiling is. I really don't. I really don't know what his ceiling is going to be. How good he's going to be.
Ceilings in his house, I'm sure.
Like, he is going to be one of the best players in the history of the NBA, I think. It's insane. I just want people to, like...
It would be a shame that it would be on such bad teams.
Well, not for long. I think when we get healthy next year, I don't think if we're fully healthy next year and he
he's going to be the Archie Manning of basketball.
No. No. If our team is healthy next year and he continues his natural progression, I don't see how there's any way that they don't make the playoffs next year.
Yeah.
He's that good.
Yeah, I do, if Monty Williams is the head coach.
No, but even if, you know what? I tell you what.
My God. Are you serious? Like, you started the season. Monty's the best. Then you were ready to fire Monty, and if you're about to defend Monty again, you have lost credibility.
Look, I will defend. Look, I.
They won Monty one game.
Just listen to me, all
right?
Monty has not had a great.
You're the
season.
Guy that walks out of the Saints out of the Superdome after the Saints beat a team, and we're still 4-12, and you're yelling
Super Bowl.
Oh, stop.
Well,
no.
He has to have that in him, or he couldn't be an LSU fan. Also,
stop. Oh,
I see what you...
Oh, jabbed it right in there, right? stuck a stump right in my butt over there. Look, Monty has not had his best season, but he made some adjustments tonight. Like, he made the right moves, other than this one stretch where we played two centers and they didn't have a center, which was just... That was pretty stupid. Then I kept yelling it during the game. I was like, this is dumb. This is stupid. But he did make some good calls tonight. But that it seems like, you know what, that is the one... area where we are kind of lacking.
Coaching?
Coaching. The problem is, like, there was an interview with Davis last week, and he mentioned how much that he picks Monty's brain, and, like, he does gain a lot of NBA knowledge from Monty. Like, Monty's a smart guy. He knows basketball. I just don't know that he's a good coach.
Aha! Well, unfortunately, that is his position.
I know. I know. But one other interesting fact from that interview was that Anthony Davis does not eat seafood.
Okay.
That was just kind of weird. I was like, wait, what? I know it's kind of off the wall random, but there was an interview with him, and he talked about picking Monty's brain. And yes, look, if we're healthy and we don't make the playoffs next year, I think Monty is fired, and we're going to go in a different direction. But that interview was like, yeah, Anthony Davis does not eat seafood.
That is probably one of the most random things.
That's something that's going to stick with me now. Like, until he starts to eat crawfish, I'm like...
I don't give a fuck if he eats crawfish.
Well,
as long as crawfish is $5 a pound, I'm not eating it either.
No, but it'd be a lot cooler if he did.
No, it would not. I would be...
Well, not at $5,
right.
But it's
oh, he can
down.
Oh, he can afford $5.
Wait, good point. Yeah, apparently he doesn't spend a
I'm
lot of money. He doesn't have a lot of friends.
I'm not buying fucking crawfish at $5 a pound.
Well, I'm not. I can survive without crawfish for another
week. You're on a seafood market price checkpoint.
No, you're paying Alexandria.
No. That was me in New Orleans this week. I drove past a sign that said $4.99 a pound.
Well, this is the early season. It's always going to be more.
It's March 22nd. It ain't early season.
It's early.
But we also
had the freeze.
Early, but yes.
That's the reason.
Either way, I think it's actually this. I'm a conspiracy theorist when it comes to that. Crawfish prices climb a little bit each year, just like gas prices.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're just trying to see kind of like how much they can get for it.
But closing the Pelicans game, it was a great game. Tyreek had a decent game. Rivers had a solid game. Even Ajinsa in the fourth quarter, which I'm not a huge fan of Ajinsa, but he had some good dunks, and it was just great to be the Heat. It was to beat the Heat. It was one of the best victories of the year. The full arena to send all those fucking assholes out with a loss. All those
good deal.
Goddamn Heat fans, it was awesome. Oh, but I did get to sit in good seats the other night.
Yeah, you sat in Benson's seats, didn't you?
They were nice. I chatted with Morris Bart for a few minutes.
Oh, did you call him?
No.
How did you land Benson's seats?
I walked up. I had my normal seats, and I was up in the concourse. And I walked up to an official and said, "Hey, I'm with the Doom Patrol podcast. Where can I get to?" He's like, "Oh, well, we have these seats right here." So
there you go.
It was nice. We didn't win the game, but it's even as close as I sit, you know, behind the basket, you know, and that's nice to sit right there. But when you are sitting with your feet on the floor, it's completely different. It was kind of weird because I showed up in my normal attire, my Davis jersey, shirt, and shorts, and then we got to sit on the floor. I was the only person sitting on the floor wearing shorts.
Yeah.
Which was kind of weird, but I was also the only person sitting on the floor wearing a Pelicans shirt like this, so I was proud of that. Like fuck you assholes. Wearing your suits and your coats and your nondescript bullshit. I'm going to wear a Pelican shirt.
Yeah.
So. Next year, bitches. Playoffs.
All right. Final thoughts, Damon?
Ready for the NFL draft.
You're going to have to wait another month and a half.
Yeah, just kind of, you know, just ready for football to start. They really
so
got.
Do you think we're going to have any other free agent signings up until the draft? What do you if we do sign? What do you think we may sign, or what might we do? We restructured Keenan Lewis's contract, so that freed up more. The Pierre contract numbers came out, so we ended up saving pushing for
right.
higher cap in the future years.
Well, I'm not worried
about
that. Obviously,
they got to carve out. I mean, Graham is counting seven, but I got to think they're probably, even though maybe the first year won't be as much, but they're carving out a little bit of room for whatever his first year amount is going to be. I would imagine it'll be around 3, 4, 5, something like that. We still have rookies to sign. We might sign we're not going to be done. We're going to have a signing somewhere, but at least now the free agency market is kind of in the second phase where not that much money is going to be awarded. Going to be interesting to see. What do you think about Philly either trading or releasing DeSean Jackson? Would you want DeSean Jackson?
Yeah.
I don't like the guy. I think he's probably not good in the locker room. So maybe that is kind of a negative, but the guy can produce on the field.
No, he definitely can. I mean,
They didn't cut him yet, but supposedly he's on the trade market. He does have a high cap figure. There was something that leaked today, like something I read that said there's a chance they could even cut him. Which, I mean, I don't know about that. I can't imagine.
Yeah, that doesn't sound.
I mean, I wouldn't trade for him and give up a draft pick knowing you're going to take on the salary and his attitude. But if he were to be cut, then you could get him at a decent rate. Would that be a consideration?
Depends on his attitude.
Do you want to dip the size of your meal for a quarter more?
Want me to punch a size your face for free?
It would be nice to not have Steve Smith in Carolina anymore to deal with that. I know there were rumors that he might come here, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, rumors that we started.
Well, other Saints fans are like, hey, yeah. Hey, he knows Sean Payton.
That's because
they
listen to the Dome Patrol podcast.com.
Sean Payton and him following him on
right.
Twitter.
Follow each other on Twitter. Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. They're boys. They're tight. They got something worked out. So, but we do play Baltimore this year, so we will still see Steve Smith this year.
We'll still beat him.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens over the next... What was that, sir?
That was my cell phone.
Sanford and Son, almost.
God, I thought it was Jeff's phone playing Sanford and Son.
No,
it was Sanford and Son, though, right?
It was Damon's phone playing Sanford and Son.
All right, I can see
that. So that's all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Check us out on Facebook by searching for Dome Patrol Podcast. We're also on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. So if you don't listen to us on iTunes, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, New Orleans Heat fan bandwagon, not donkeys. .com. Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Oh, good night, Who Dat Nation. I was still waiting. Jason, you were just going on and on. I was still...
Yeah, but I was done. I was said donkeys. To, once I say donkeys, I'm done.
Wait for you to shut the fuck up. I was just waiting.
Once I say donkeys, all right, that's
do
it.
All right, come on. Let's do it again now.
Bye-bye, New Orleans bandwagon Heat fans, not donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
I'm so dead.